Hi, this is Dr. Stephen Masley, and today we'll be mapping cognitive function on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'm talking with Dr. Stephen Masley. Dr. Masley is a physician, nutritionist, trained chef, and I've had the honor of experiencing some of his talents in the kitchen, author, and the creator of the number one health program for public television, 30 Days to a Younger Heart. He is a fellow with the American Heart Association, American College of Nutrition, and American Academy of Family Physicians. His research focuses on the impact of lifestyle choices on heart health, brain function, and aging. Dr. Masley is a best-selling author, and his work has been viewed by millions on PBS, the Discovery Channel, and the Today Show. He continues to see patients and publish research from his medical clinic in St. Petersburg, Florida. And today, you are going to get a treat in a fully completed matrix on cognitive function. Welcome, my friend, Dr. Stephen Masley. I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you.
I love the topic of cognitive function because it encompasses so many parts of how we think, behave, remember. What do you consider to be cognitive function?
It's really how our brain processes and retrieves and uses information. So it's much more than just memorizing a word. It's how do you solve problems? How do you answer a question? How do you remember that, you know, hug that you got from someone? All those things are part of your cognitive function. It's what makes us alive and human. And without, you know, we can replace our heart, our kidneys, our liver. We can't replace our brain, because we have all this incredible processing activity.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember when my husband was dealing with his brain tumor, and oddly enough, my brother-in-law at the time had kidney failure, and he was looking to get a kidney transplant, and he asked, "Can Isamu get a brain transplant?" And we all laughed, because of course he couldn't get a brain transplant, as you're saying. That doesn't work like that.
Our cognition is who we are. It's just so essential to our life.
So if we move over to the story section of the matrix, the ATMs, if we're thinking about antecedents, what are the things that we typically or you clinically see related to impairments in clinical cognitive function related to our antecedents, either what our parents experienced or our genetics? Anything pop into your mind there?
Well, fortunately, genetics is not that important for your brain. I mean, that's the really good news. Even for an ApoE4 genotype, I think we can overcome that. What we can't overcome is our lifestyle choices.
Right.
So things like in our clinic, we analyze how people age, how your brain functions. Do you grow plaque or shrink plaque? And we cross-reference that with the food you eat, your nutrients, your fitness, your stress, and your toxin exposure. And those five things, I'll say them again, foods, your nutrients, your fitness, your stress management, and your toxins, those have a huge impact on your brain. And if you do those five things right, you can improve your brain function and prevent memory loss. And I think it's really new to think that we can improve things by just making the right choices.
So talk about that a little bit, the plasticity of the brain and the brain cells, because that is new. We used to think that when there was brain impairment, we were done for. Where's that research and how have you incorporated that into your clinic?
I've been measuring brain function for over 15 years, as well as plaque growth. And so I've been able to watch and see people's brains literally get better as we got them to eat the right food and make the right choices. So, and we've published this in like multiple studies now, that what things predict brain improvement. But you're totally right. Just a few years back, 10 years ago, we were saying you couldn't improve your brain.
Right.
That you could try to, you could do things to stop the loss, but the data I've published shows clearly that my average patient improves their brain processing speed by 25%. Now we have other folks out there, you know, Dr. Dale Bredesen, right, showing you can help reverse Alzheimer's. And then, much bigger than that was the Finnish study, the finger trial that showed if you did the right things, you could take people with mild cognitive impairment and get rid of their impairment. So there are several studies, including my own data, showing that if we make the right, and it's multiple steps, I think the critical thing is there's not a single magic bullet. There's no drugs that will reverse this. If we do multiple of the right steps using the whole matrix, then we can start to reverse cognitive decline, improve brain function.
Yeah, you're speaking to what I love that Dr. Bredesen calls the 36 holes in the roof. And I have a great article that I'll also link in the show notes about what we can do. What are those 36 holes in the roof? Let's go into that central part of the matrix, what I call the soup of the whole system here. You've mentioned plaque a couple of times. Where does that sit on the matrix in terms of the internal physiological function, and what's the connection there?
Well, there's different kinds of plaque. There's plaque we grow in their arteries, but there's also amyloid plaque and tau fibrils that we form in the brain. So one aspect of aging is we make plaque. Bad for our heart, bad for our brain.
Right.
And that's a result of oxidative stress and inflammation. But the number one driving factor behind brain plaque and artery plaque is elevated blood sugar and insulin resistance. You know, if we could just fix one thing, if we could get rid of insulin resistance and have beautiful blood sugar control, the data is pretty solid now. We could prevent at least 60% of memory loss in Alzheimer's disease. That's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. That's so amazing.
But to get blood sugar control, remember, that's more than, you know, that's fitness, that's exercise,
right,
that's nutrition, that's all the steps.
Yeah, I mean, I always say if you're not pooping, sleeping, and your blood sugar is out of balance, forget it. We can't, like, there's nothing to build upon. And I think, to your point, Dr. Masley, there was that really interesting study, I'm forgetting its name right now, but came out of Israel, that was pretty large cohort that showed that blood sugar management wasn't static for multiple individuals, that one person can eat ice cream and have elevated blood sugar and the other one didn't. And it really was individually dependent. So we do need a practitioner at times to help us even figure out beyond glycemic load, what is true for us and our bodies. So I love it. Blood sugar management and really understanding the impact of the plaques on the brain and cognitive function. What else? Tell me about GI inflammatory issues. How does this affect the brain?
Well, inflammation has always been a marker that predicts, and our largest source of inflammation has to do with our microbiome and our gut.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no way of getting around that your gut's important for your brain, and a lot of people call it the second brain, let alone that more of the brain neurotransmitters are produced in the gut than they are in the brain. So, I mean, there's so many. There's brain-heart connections. There's gut-heart connections. So, you know, in my food group, I clearly have, I mean, two of the biggest things we've got to do for our brain is get a regular source of probiotic to support our microbiome and eat fiber so our microbiome has something to eat and they don't starve to death.
I'm curious, you mentioned that hug earlier in our conversation. So what does the mind, spirit, emotions, where is our relationships and our networks and our meditation and the ways we tend to our life through our interrelations, how does that impact our cognitive function?
Well, the simplest way of looking at it is if you're stressed out, your cortisol is going to be high. Cortisol makes you insulin resistant, raises blood sugar, and high cortisol levels are actually very destructive on the memory center of the brain, the hippocampus. It shrinks. So even if we eat well and work out and take a supplement, if we're totally stressed out, we're going to be at risk for brain shrinkage. And that's not good.
Right.
So we do need to make, you know, we need a good night's sleep. We need to share kindness and affection with other humans and like hugging is good for your brain. Your cortisol drops and your oxytocin goes up when you share a hug. You know, so sleep, meditation, I think, is essential. So of my, instead of 36 steps, I try to think of it as 5 steps. And great. One of those being stress management. I try to make it easy.
Yeah.
But within stress management, there are several steps. We need a good night's sleep. We have to have support and love and care in our lives. And we do need to meditate. All those things are essential to balancing cortisol, which is very important for blood sugar control and brain health.
And if we were to spend more time over in your brilliant how-tos, because you're so good at this, Dr. Masley, when we look at the exercise and movement and particularly the nutrition and hydration, what over there in terms of nutrients or non-negotiables beyond blood sugar and sleep do you see as critical for supporting our cognitive health?
In our database, when we looked at the most powerful predictors of improving cognitive function and brain performance, fitness was actually number one.
Wow.
And it was both independent, aerobic and strength training. So your muscle mass and your aerobic are both independently super important. And from a nutrient perspective, there's a list, but I think the biggest ones are like vitamin D, fish oil, B vitamins like B12 and mixed folates, not just folic acid, probiotic, and magnesium. If I was just to pick a top 5-6, that would be it. If you really met your needs for B12 and mixed folates and got your fish oil and got your magnesium, vitamin D, those are absolute essential nutrients for your brain. It doesn't function well without them.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. Those are my top non-negotiable nutrients that we need to be getting, whether through food or supplementation, depending on the individual as well. When you said the right food and the right choices, are there commonalities or do you need to get into specific bio-individualized diets or where do things fall in the clinic?
Andrea, that's a great question. Because I like to lump things, to make it easier for people to follow. So like pigments, we need plant pigments like green leafies and blueberries and black red beans, tea, all those pigments have really solid proven evidence for our brain. But so do smart fats. Our brain is mostly fat, and a low-fat diet decreases cognitive performance and puts it at increased risk for depression and memory loss. So we want olive oil and nuts and, long-chain omega-3 sources like salmon or seaweed and avocado and cook with avocado oil, and we need all of those.
I love this.
Spices and herbs would be another whole category of anti-inflammatory foods. And if I just pick two, I'd probably say Italian herbs. They're just so anti-inflammatory, especially rosemary kind of at the top. And curry spices, in particular turmeric and its extract, which you get a supplement, curcumin. Those would be, so for food groups, those would be my most important, so I've got a dozen foods with the Better Brain Solution that I promote, but those are the big classes that they fit under, are pigments, smart fats, and spices and herbs.
I love it because we're literally populating the matrix for cognitive function, and it's a brilliant way to look at the myriad things that we need and how interconnected everything is. The final question I have for you, Dr. Masley, is about aging. And I know everything you're talking about here can impact the rate at which we age, at least cognitive function. But what else can you tell us about aging and the impacts of aging on the brain and cognitive function?
We look at over 100 markers of aging in our clinic. And again, we compare that with food, nutrients, fitness, stress management, toxins. It's not just that your brain gets better. Our patients that have an improvement in brain performance, cognitive processing speed, have their plaque shrinking. Their bone density is not dropping. Their muscle mass is maintaining. Their blood sugar hormonal levels look good. I mean, any of those things falls apart and we're subject to accelerated aging. And I think most Americans, sadly, today are dealing with not regular aging, but accelerated aging.
Right.
So the same, like, Better Brain solution I use for your brain, that would be good for your bones, your skin, your heart, your hormone. I mean, all of those things. It's not too surprising that it's an interconnected web.
It is.
And when you do the right thing for one part of your body, it's likely really good for other parts too. And that's how I like to think of it. That's a way to outsmart aging. We're going to have aging, but how can we outsmart it so we age beautifully? And that's really my goal.
I think you just mapped that for us. And I think as a result, I can't wait to give you a big hug next time I see you. And that's the way we keep this aging at bay.
It's so fun to talk to you because you get it. You know, using the matrix to look at a problem like this, I think, is a really fun way of helping us identify what can we do that would optimize our health and really focus on something. I can't think of anything more important than improving our cognitive function.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Masley. So happy to have you here.
Thank you.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you go to 15minutematrix.com/notify, you can let us know if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode ready and waiting for you. Let us know your information there, and we'll be sure to drop into your inbox with a very short reminder each time a new episode is ready. Plus, you have an open invitation to email us. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com. That's ask@15minutematrix.com.